Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we make time for Toski and we welcome the multi-Hall of Famer, the veteran, the golfer, and more, Bob Toski. So stay tuned to get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. And this hour, we wanted to delve into, well, I'll tell you what, word spread greatly last week about our guest. It was Steve Bourbon, the Toski protege. So much so that the man himself heard about it and said, hey, I need. Why am I not on the show? So, of course, we make time for Toski this hour on TW Keith Jones because we can. And Toski is our resident nonagenarian, and if you don't know what that means, we'll tell you as the show goes on, and you'll know for the rest of your life, because Bob is 99 years young, and we're so looking forward to September. Actually, we're looking forward to every day with Bob. So, Toski, welcome to the show.
Oh, Keith, always great to be with you. Well, I just got driving back from the doctor, and I got back home without any incident, so my driving's still pretty good, I guess.
Okay, for those who just got concerned right there, Bob is in the state of Florida. So if you're not in Florida, don't worry. There are worse jobs drivers actually than Bob on the road, to tell you the truth, in Florida and many, many other states. But that aside, we're not here to talk about driving, although I just renewed my driver's license, so you know, make sure you get the real ID. But we are here to talk about Toski and the legacy You know, it was interesting having Steve Bourbon on the show last week. He works with a lot of technology, some new technologies that he's come upon and stuff. But everything he says reverts back to the teachings of Toski. And it's so simplistic, the swing, and people struggle with it mightily. As you know this, you've been teaching the game pretty much since you retired, have been from the PGA Tour and at least started the golf schools back in the early 70s. And, you know, it's gone from there. And so many things are still the same.
Well, you can't change fundamentals. The golf swing is a circle. There's a rotary force. There's a vertical force. There's a lateral force. And you have to combine all those three forces and time them with the club head to meet the ball square. And so, therefore, the synchronization and the feeling of what's happened with those three parts have to be understood and perfected. And what happens is the club starts at the bottom of your feet and goes all the way up over your head, about 7 feet in the air. Now you've got 7 feet in the air away from the golf ball to come back to the ball while you're moving and swinging and creating vertical, lateral, and rotary forces. The timing of those and the feeling of those in the human anatomy have to be taught and felt through good instruction and a lot of good concentration and desire. And I'm sorry to say that most people that I've taught, most of them don't have the desire or the time or the effort to do that because it is so difficult.
Well, that in life gets in the way, right? So there's always stuff to do in your regular life. You've got to carve out that time. It's the same as or no different than going to the gym to work out or anything else that you may do in your life. You've got to carve out the time.
You got that right. But once you learn all those fundamentals, you got to learn then to play golf and strike the ball in the air, put it in the fairway, and then put it on the green, and then learn how to roll the ball on the ground. So now you've got to learn to play golf in the air and on the ground, and you got 14 clubs, to try to learn how to use the right club for the right distance and make the right swing at the right time. And that takes great concentration, confidence, and controlled human anatomy. And then it starts from your hands and your feet. You can't control action without traction. And the feeling of your control of your body is your feet are controlling your upper body through your legs, and your hands are controlling your arms and shoulders because they're touching the club. Something that's touching has more control over something that's not touching. And your arms aren't touching the golf club. Your shoulders aren't touching the golf club. Your reaction to the feeling and the position of your hands on the grip of the club and holding and gripping of the club is essential to make the golf club strike the ball square. Most people have poor grips, poor posture, and poor golf swing. And so, but they love to go out and play and enjoy the fellowship and the golf course and try to compete and make a nickel or a dime or whatever. But that's right. And it's probably one of the most difficult but most beautiful games to play in the world because of the scenery that you see while you're playing. If you go to Pebble Beach or New Cypress Point, you spend your time gawking at looking at what is around you, and you'd lose control of your concentration, but you'd have a hell of a time looking at the ocean, the waves, and the type of hole you're playing, and God-given earth and soil and rock and whatever. To really enjoy the game. So it is a game of fellowship. It's a game of trying to control little white objects. And the ball, if it could talk to you, it would say, would you mind putting me in the fairway? Would you mind putting me on the green? Would you mind not three putting or four putting?
So eloquently broken down. That's the essence of the game.
Oh God, I played this game, and I look back at my career, and I really don't really believe I did it, and that I did it that well, because I was, you know, coming from a poor family and being one of nine children, and my brother being unsuccessful. I just wanted to go out there and compete and see if I could make a little money and then go back home and brag about the tour. What made me the great player that I was for my size was the tutelage and the confidence that the great players had in me when I went out there. Demerit, Sneed, Nelson, old Hogan, no. All he ever said is your way. But I had so much tutelage and so much confidence in them that they had in me that it helped me to grow and it helped me to become a better person. I can't thank them enough. And they've all left me, and I miss them. But the association and the time and the talk about golf and life, they were my professors. Ted Grohl, who I don't mention often enough. But that's all life. That's the life I chose. That's the life I wanted to have. And when I became a leading money winner, and I won the world championship, And I look back at the seven that I made on the par four hole, which is a triple bogey. Everybody had given up and said, well, he blew this tournament. Because I went from 11 under par, I think, to 8 under, 7 under par. But I came back. Naturally, I was a little despondent and confused for a few minutes. But when I got back to the back nine, I said, I've got to find a way to win this tournament. And fortunately, Jack Burke hit it out of bounds on 16 on a par 5 and made 6. And I was fortunate enough to hit a good drive down the fairway. I hit a beautiful 3-wood on the green, and I hauled a 20-footer for an eagle. So he made 6 and I made 3, and now we're tied for the title. And then, of course, Stewart was playing behind us, Earl Stewart, and he had a 2-stroke lead, which we didn't understand and didn't believe. So finally, when I birdied the last hole, Stewart had made a double bogey on 16 to be tied, and then, of course, I birdied the 18 to win by 1 shot. But life has challenges that you can't believe. And we all know what it takes to survive on Mother Earth. And I'm happy to say that, Keith, if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be talking to you today. And I never would have been on your foot radio program and met you as a person of which you are a good human being and a righteous fellow. And a hell of a guy that knows how to talk on radio. So, no more of that. So, we'll get down to business here, and I'll let you talk a little bit.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, that is the legend, the multi-Hall of Famer, Bob Toski, regular contributor, as I mentioned, our resident nonagenarian. That means he's in his 90s. He's 99 years old, will be 100 on September 18th of this year, and he's planning to... Well, he's getting ready to play in this big soiree, so we're pleased about that. Song and dance man, this guy. I do have to take Bob up one exception to what he said. And it's not because he won that tournament that we had him on the show. It's because of what he's given to the game. And to tell you the truth, Bob, I've known you for between 15 and 20 years. You've been on this show at least for 15 years. And I do not remember exactly who made the introduction to us, but I know it was about you. Your teaching prowess, if nothing else, because not only were you the leading money winner on the PGA Tour, you went on to be the godfather of the golf swing, as I like to call you affectionately, because golf schools and golf instructors now are able to be successful, and the golfers themselves, the teachers, instructors, are able to make a living because of what you guys started with Golf Digest and how you and Jim Flick and a bunch of other guys just kept the word alive and got people interested in the game. And we're seeing this resurgence, which I love, and it's one of the reasons I've loved doing this show for as long as I've done it, is now we're back to the families playing. It's not about the professional golfers. We had the LIV fractioning, and we had the PGA Tour, and Brooks is coming back, and Patrick Reed's coming back, and there'll be other golfers that come back to the PGA Tour from the LIV Tour and some other golfers that go over there, and that's going to happen. That's well and good. That's professional level. But to see the sons and the daughters and the mothers and the fathers and the uncles and the aunts and the grandparents get out there and play this great game is really what's become so inspiring to me. And so is our guest, Bob Toski, the multi-Hall of Famer and a guy who is sticking around this hour. So you'll have so much to learn from the great one when we come back. We'll be right back. We're so fortunate to make Tom Petoskey this hour. He is going strong. Doctor gave him a clean bill of health, which is good because we celebrated Bob in Orlando, the PGA Merchandise Show, and he was unable to attend, but back at it and still out on the golf course almost every day and doing things, you know, that maybe he shouldn't be as much, you know, that carousing and that drinking and all that stuff, Bob, but you need to cut that out pretty soon. So anyway, I digress on that. You're an outstanding individual, and, you know, I kid because I can. But I do want to say this about a station. Somebody has joined us in the Tee It Up Clubhouse, and they've been with us a few weeks, and we're apparently still on the air in Manchester, New Hampshire, which I love because I have to fly into New Hampshire to get to Vermont, so it's, you know, it's really like coming home for me from that standpoint. But because of the great work that Michael Czarniecki has done over that station, we are on the air and happy that you are able to listen to Tee It Up Sunday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m., which is a good time to listen to Bob. Bob will wake you up, and Bob will give you all kinds of virtues and longevity for your life. So thank you to Michael and to WFEA AM in Manchester, New Hampshire. So, Bob, people, you know, are people are catching wind of you, Bob. They said, hey, that Toski, you know, thanks for having him on the show and stuff. But you're the last living link between all those greats of the game that you mentioned and guys that came before that. Even though Gene Sarazen was older than you and Bob Jones and some of those, you still had relationships in one way or another with those people.
Oh, yes. A very close relationship with Gene Sarazen and of all the people that I thought I'd never meet, Walter Hagen. Can you believe that he tapped me on the shoulder in a parking lot in Detroit, Michigan, and introduced himself to me because Walter Bergamo, one of my professional friends that was a good friend of Walter, set that up, and I had the pleasure of talking to him for about 5 minutes, and I would have never in my life believed that I would meet Walter Hagen.
Yeah, I mean, I've had moments like that, not on the golf course. Well, sometimes in the parking lot. I mean, I was at an opening that Jack Nicklaus put on, and he ended up coming into the men's room and standing in the urinal next to me. That was, you know, kind of an aha moment with Jack. But having met Arnold Palmer over the years and been at some course openings with him and other greats of the game, including yourself, you know, to have that opportunity. I wouldn't have had that opportunity without this venue. So, you know, without this avenue to be able to spread the word of the great golf. I mean, you know, golf is a four-letter word. I say that regularly. Golf is a four-letter word. So is life. And you don't learn about life until you're in it. And then sometimes you think, oh, it's a little too late from that standpoint. But there are a lot of parallels. And if you can meld these things together, then they become eight-letter words instead of four-letter words. So it's a good thing from that standpoint because people keep coming back to the game of golf, Bob. And as I mentioned, the families just a little bit ago in the show, this is kind of where we're at with the game of golf because people may not be really good at it, but they keep trying, which is a good sign.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's America for you, you know? Everybody's always trying to get better. It's a challenge. And I'd like to spell the golf out for you that a lot of people don't really know. G is God, O is others, L is love, F is family and friends. And like you just said, I've taught golf to friends and family, golfers of high handicap, low handicap, no handicap, one-arm golfers, one-legged golfers, blind golfers. And that has enriched my life because I never realized what I was getting into and what I had to try to accomplish with people I thought I'd never meet. So, yes, I've given back to the game, but I could never give back enough that's been given to me. What I have in materialism and with all social aspects of life with friends like you. It doesn't get any better than that, too.
Thank you, Bob. And that doesn't get better than this hour's guest, Bob Toski, multi-Hall of Famer and a veteran. He's a veteran in there, too. I was going to throw that in next segment when we came back, but you can't talk enough about how much of a patriot Bob Toski is indeed. Heading to the bottom of the hour. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Bob Toski, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. And we'll be right back. I'll keep my pants on.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter. The Lama. Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
We are back to start the second half hour of the show, spending it with Bob Toski, regular contributor, our resident nonagenarian, and a guy who has just been spreading the word for... Oh, I don't know, 80 years. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Let's think back. Started playing when he was about five, we'll say five. You know, really, he was probably closer to three. I've seen pictures. And because he had older brothers, you know, they wanted him to play Jack, and those guys said, hey, you know, Bob, come play. And they lived off of a golf course, you know, growing up. I mean, those are the kind of privileges that people don't realize they have until they don't have them because, you know, it's so easy to go to chip around the green or to putt or whatever when you're that close to that kind of landscape.
Well, I was fortunate to have that. When my mother died, giving birth to her 10th child, to relieve some of the conditions at home, my brother Jack, who was an assistant down at Northampton Country Club, knew Al Porter and Minnie Porter, who were owners of the clubhouse, and they put me up and Tommy up in an attic, nice attic for us to sleep. And at 6 years of age, my life began with a 6-iron and a putter and a little white ball.
And look at you now, which was probably either feathery or I don't remember if Percha was out by then. Let's see. I don't know. We'll have to go back in history. This is another thing with Bob Toski. You get a lot of history. This guy can remember what shot he hit in 1945 at this said tournament on this said hole. I've been around a lot of professionals, golf wise, both male and female. And yes, that is something that a number of the golfers have. They can tell you to recreate, but to ask them 40 years from now what they hit. You're probably not going to get the same answer. So, you know, it is amazing, the noggin that you have on your head there, young man.
Well, I don't know why it's still sharp and quick and funny and whatever. But I guess it's a gift. I've been using it to the best of my ability. And I don't walk as fast. I don't think as fast because of my time in life at my age, but I can think way back. I can go all the way back to Calcutta, India, when I was 18 years old and won the China-Burma-India all-golf tournament. And that kind of set my life about whether I could become a player. Imagine me playing in 1945 after the war ended, with no golf shoes, no golf clubs, no golf balls. All were given to me to the British, who had only the country club, and of course it being a part of what do you call it?
The United Kingdom by then.
Yeah, and they they had all like stuff that I could play golf with, and I made a lot of friends. But I won the tournament with an average of 75, and of course there was a guy that played there. His name was Glenn Keel. He probably played on tour. I didn't realize when he played in that tournament that he would be one of the players to play on the U.S. Tour. Can I ask you a question, Keith?
Bob, you can always ask me a question. Go ahead. I'll try to answer it.
Have you heard about the merger of the hospital the merger of what's the name of the famous hospital with the PGA? They have just merged with the PGA, and they are going to merge and be with the PGA to help all the players with their ability to go to the hospitals, which are, I think they're over 200 all over the world. Cleveland Clinic, that's the name of the hospital. That merger just happened with the PGA. So I probably have been asked, the word around is they need an ambassador to represent that merger. I think I could be the one.
Yeah, you probably could. You've been an ambassador for the game for a long time. I've actually seen that trophy that Bob won in Burma right in front of me. So not in front of me now, but at his estate, I have seen that trophy. It is amazing to see. The other thing the guys brought to my attention was, I think I said noggin on the head of Bob Toski. Noggin and head would be the same thing, although head is a four-letter word. So we'll go back to that again. So the head or the noggin on Bob's body is phenomenal from that, from that. So now we're clear. Now stop laughing over there, you guys, from that standpoint. But Bob, that's, interesting that you say that, because I've had this conversation. I think I've had it with you on this show, but I've had it with other athletes on this, both on air and off air. And that is what I can't understand. And I understand from a PGA Tour standpoint, they're contractors, not employees. Okay, so I get that a little bit. But if you play in the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, major MLB, you are, in essence, an employee of that said team, thus of that said entity. And I direct this more at the NFL, former NFL players, because those are the guys that get banged around a lot more than the other sports, well, usually. But there's no reason in the world, when you're an entity like the NFL with all these billions of dollars that you raise through different advertisers or through different events or what have you, that you can't put aside X number of funds to take care of the guys. Whether, we're not talking CTE, it's not about, yes, it happens, whatever. I've been concussed before. I was concussed without even knowing it when I was playing in high school, when I was playing football. It was just at practice. I got blindsided, then your legs fly out and you hit your head and boom, you sit there kind of starry-eyed for a while. You get back on your feet, you're not thinking about it, right? But so what I'm saying is this is kind of hedging. So if I sound a little askew sometimes, people, now you know why. But from the standpoint of in seriousness, it's not about guilt. It's about taking care of the players. The players get paid millions of dollars now. The players that didn't get paid millions of dollars are those guys that help put everybody else on their shoulder and raise them up. The great Johnny Unitas's and Nick Bonacani's and all these guys that came through, and guys before them, Night Train Lane. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, this league has been around, the NFL, for more than 100 years. All right. So, and now it's a billion-dollar entity. It's the 800-pound gorilla, and there's no reason why you can't put millions. It's, again, guys get, you get hit by a car, you get broken, the body doesn't like blunt trauma, right? So you're going to have these injuries and stuff. And as long as you can substantiate it, I don't see any reason why there shouldn't be that kind of coverage just from a hospital standpoint for those professional athletes. But I've said that. I've soapboxed right there, but, you know, I stand by that.
Yeah, you have to have the leadership of these type of people to make these decisions. And I want you to follow up on this thing that I talked about with Cleveland Clinic hospitals that are going to be merged with the PGA of America and the tour, and to help these golfers. I'm so happy to hear that that has happened, because I've been at the Cleveland Clinic, and when I had prostate cancer and I had a PSA of 38, and they said I only had 2 years to live, and that's when I was 70, and they asked me, should we seed you or cut you open? I said, cut me open and find out what's inside. They cut me open, and it was confined to an area where it had not spread. They operated on me, and the next day my PSA was 0.8. And that was when I was 70 years old, from this great doctor at the Cleveland Clinic. And here I am at 99 talking to you on the radio.
It is amazing. I wouldn't call myself a cancer survivor, but I guess if you have cancer and you survived, that makes you a cancer survivor. But I always kind of shy away from that kind of thing. I have cancer that was found. It was sarcoma, which is not good, and it was found a couple of years ago. And I had a great surgeon who just happened to be working in that area and discovered it. And so yours is truly sitting here talking with Bob Toski on T.W. Keith Jones. So happy for that and such. So get yourself checked. Stay out of the sun as much as possible. I know you're playing golf. It's hard to stay out of the sun. But put your protection on, whatever you can do, because my dermatologist likes to say that I have some skin or some sun damage, and he likes to take that. Yeah. I call him Dr. Freeze. It's his new nickname, Dr. Freeze. Dr. Lee is Dr. Freeze now, because, you know, it's like,
Tell me about it.
So last week, it's a good thing I was doing radio instead of television, because he hit me about 8 spots on my face that I didn't even think was anything, but he likes the spray. That's all I'm going to say from that standpoint. But that's great news, Bob, about the PGA of America, which is different than the PGA Tour. So people that know, but, you know, if it's not the same entity, although I believe to play on the tour, you still need to be a PGA of America member. But regardless, I defer to the great Bob Toski.
I don't know if people understand there's a PGA of America with golf pros that are club pros that are working at golf clubs. And that there are 30,000 of those professionals. And then the PGA, we call it the tour, where you got about 140, 150 players playing every week. So there's the other tours that they have to qualify to get on the big tour, as you know. So there's a lot of players that are trying to make a living. But I'm interested to know, and I've been told that I may become a part of this operation where the Cleveland Clinic and the tour players and the PGA club pros at 99, being as old as I am and the oldest living player that was on tour in the 50s. So I may add some credibility to what is happening. So I follow up on that, Keith, and we might talk more about it next time we get on the air.
Sounds great. I do want to turn and talk about two names that you had mentioned, because there's a book coming out about the relationship of these two gentlemen, or a book that is out, Jimmy DeMeritt and Jackie Burke. Now, they got together and they opened Champions Gate down in Houston, but your relationship with both those guys was different. But what kind of relationship did you see those two have prior to opening the course?
Well, you're talking about Burke and DeMeritt?
Yeah.
Well, I only knew Jackie as a competitor, and I admired his golf swing, and he always looked at me and couldn't believe I could play golf as well as I did and drive the ball. But with the merit, I became really like he adopted me, and I felt like I was one of the kids from Boys Town. And he loved music, and I don't know how many times we sang at different clubs, at different restaurants, and did harmonies. And we were like a barbershop quartet. But I remember singing this song with him. Not a soul down on the corner, it's a pretty certain sign. Those wedding bells are breaking up that old gang of mine. And we would sing songs like that, and the harmony, and the love of fellowship. And, how I miss this guy, because he loved music, and he always wanted me to sing anytime we had a chance. And with Jackie, it was just a competitive player like all the others. I didn't socialize with him as much as I did Jimmy. And, of course, I admired Jackie's swing. His father taught him a hell of a golf swing. But as beautiful as that golf swing was, he hit a ball out of bounds on 15 and hit a cab out in Caldwell Road out in Chicago. And that beautiful swing did not find the ball like it should have. And that one swing led to Bob Toski winning the World Championship.
Well, there you go. I mean, you know, you got Jackie Burke to thank about that, but or thank for that.
And, he'll be thinking about that for a long time.
Indeed. And I'll be thinking about that for a while now, too. It'll be stuck in my mind. And by the way, that song that Bob just did, you got a little taste of what happens at his birthday party. I know not everybody can be invited because it's, you know, it's a lot of people. It's hundreds of people. However, Bob's got to cut the list off at some point, and it gets a little bit testy because people want to be at that soiree. They just do. So we've already got our calendar blocked off, so you'll be hearing a bunch of stuff.
I'm only inviting 100. I'm stopping at 100.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so.
And I've already started thinking about plans of type of entertainment, but I haven't told anybody about it yet.
No, I'm not surprised. He's a little secretive that way. He's very strategic. Yeah. His golf teaching is like that. His golf playing is like that. His life has become very strategic as well, as we're just overjoyed to laugh with a really good friend and a guy always makes us laugh. And I stumble over words because Bob makes me laugh and throws me off. And then, you know, I think he does it on purpose. I'm not sure. He's looking to see how resilient I can be and if I can bring it back together and bring us home. And I'll do that, bringing us home in a short couple of minutes because we're going to head to the final break of the show. Yeah, see, he's got me laughing again. We'll be back to finish up the show with Bob Toski after this break.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. I haven't been this excited since I discovered I couldn't lick my elbow.
We have reached the final segment of the show. It's been a pleasure, of course, to spend time with just an all-around great human being, a guy who's given so much to the game, but he says the game has given so much to me. So, you know, you tell me who's winning in that, whether it's Toski or the world, because, you know, that's whatever. Hey, Bob, one of the things I don't think I've ever asked you or don't recall asking, at least on this show, who is your favorite golf course designer?
George Fazio.
Oh, George Fazio.
Yeah.
Why is that, Bob?
George Fazio was, I had breakfast with him at Tamashana on the last day of the World Championship, and he said, once I finish playing, I'm going to go and see the architect golf course business. And he then said, he predicted, he said, this is your day, Bob. This is your day to win. And I know you're going to win the tournament. And he predicted at breakfast I would win the tournament. But if you want to see some of the work he's done, go to Jupiter Hills up in Palm Beach, North Palm Beach, and you will see one of the, a design golf course that'll blow you away.
Yeah, I can't get on there. I'm locked out of Jupiter. I don't know why. They won't let me into town limits. I don't know what it is.
And of course, he has Tom Fazio. George has passed away, but Tom Fazio, I think it's his, I forgot what relation it is to him, but he's now doing the work that George did. Of course, you know, there are a lot of other guys. Everybody's in the architect business now. Nicholas, you name it. Tom Kite is in there. You got Crenshaw. Tom Weisskopf used to be, and then he passed away. But everybody is trying to loan their expertise because they were such good players. And it was very lucrative. And Jack probably is probably making more money than anybody. And he should.
And Tiger is in there too. Tiger Woods is designing golf courses along the way too.
I don't know too much about what. All I know is Tiger should be. He ought to get on his knees every day and thank the Lord he's still alive.
True, that is so true. And just to what Bob was saying, Tom Fazio is the nephew of George. He is George's nephew. So
yeah, nephew, right?
Yeah, but
I'm amazed at Tiger's son.
Yeah, he's committed. Listen, here's one for you. Charlie Woods is committed to Florida State University. I've been to Tallahassee. Good luck. So good for Charlie and good. I'm not sure how Tiger feels about it, but Charlie's trying to carve out his own direction. And you know, besides being on the golf course like his dad, but you know, good for Charlie. And that's a good school. And it is certainly good when you can get into a school to play. It's not what you would have thought from a golf school specific or golf university, but that's really good. Really good for the folks, including my old friend Chuck Walsh, who's in sports information down at Tallahassee. So I'll have to Ryan's gonna have to reach out to Chucky and see how he's doing. I know he's doing pretty well, but now that Charlie's coming, that means Dad'll be coming too. So that's gonna be a whole nother SID phenomenon in Tallahassee.
Yeah. You're right. This young kid acts, talks, swings. Plays like he's been on tour for 5 years. He, the way he controls his body and the way he walks, and he acts so mature at his age. It's amazing. And of course, he can play. This kid can play.
Yeah, indeed. Every once in a while, I get to see some of his action at the PNC tournament championship that they have, but. But yeah, it's good, and because that's really tough. I mean, it's one thing to follow in a legend's footsteps, but it's another thing when your legend is like Tiger Woods or Bob Toski. You know, your kids play a little bit, but they didn't try to go professional, which is probably a smart thing for them.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you don't want to be somehow you don't want to be Bob's kid. You have a sore, I don't know, but anyway, listen, Toski, we got to get out of here. We're so happy to make time for Toski, but it's time to go. Get out there and practice your game. Bob would want you to. Practice. Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.